The head of the army in the Ivory Coast is warning that his troops reserve the right to retaliate following 2 days of deadly clashes in an opposition stronghold neighborhood. Many residents of the Abobo area in Abidjan voted for opposition leader Alassane Ouattara, whose victory in a presidential election has been recognized by the international community. Incumbent Laurent Gbagbo, who refuses to cede power, still controls the military. Authorities have imposed a curfew in Abobo and sent in a convoy of military trucks following the clashes that began Tuesday after a police raid. At least 4 civilians and as many as 7 police officers have been killed in the unrest. We spoke to Alex Vine, the head of the Africa program at the Research Institute Chatham House in London. He told Lydia Kane that the situation will remain deadlocked for some time to come.
Starting with the so-called President Laurent Gbagbo, the incumbent president, he seems very much at this stage out in the cold, and the international community doesn't seem to be dancing to his tune. Therefore, how much longer can this man hang on?
I think Laurent Gbagbo, the incumbent president in Cote d'Ivoire, can hang on for quite a while. although he is isolated internationally, there are, there's a UN Security Council presidential statement recognizing the election results, which recognize the leader of one of the opposition parties, Mr. Ouattara, as the legitimate president of Cote d'Ivoire. Ivory Coast has also been suspended from the African Union and ECOWAS. But having said that, there are some cracks developing in the region. The president of Ghana some days ago indicated that he wouldn't be providing troops for a regional intervention force and believed that negotiated settlement was the only way forward. So this is a protracted power struggle and could go on for a while.
I mean, there's been a lot of talk about on the brink of civil war. We've heard a lot about that, and we've heard a lot about countries helping to negotiate a settlement, taking one, for example, Nigeria. I mean, where are we here? Are we on the brink of civil war, or is there a case of countries being able to help Ivory Coast out of this?
Well, there's a lot of mediation that has taken place. The region has tried to mediate. ECOWAS has tried to mediate initially when the crisis really broke towards the end of last year. The former South African president, Thabo Mbeki, was involved. That didn't work. The current prime minister of Kenya, Mr. Odinga, is the African Union mediator. He is trying to negotiate. And the former president of Nigeria, Mr. Obasanjo, is also trying to mediate. So there's a host of efforts taking place. The problem is that Mr. Gbagbo says he doesn't, that the election result that the UN endorsed is incorrect, that he remains president, and that everything is negotiable except for him as president of Cote d'Ivoire. That's non-negotiable. Whereas Mr. Ouattara is saying that everything is negotiable except that he will have to be president. So that's the kind of stalemate we've got at the moment. The country of Cote d'Ivoire has been divided anyway between a northern sector dominated by new forces, Force Nouvelle rebels, and the south, which has been controlled by the government of President Laurent Gbagbo. That remains the case. And there is increasing violence. Several hundred people now have died. There's been certainly significant internal displacement, especially in the west of Cote d'Ivoire. And there's been quite a lot of new refugees. About 20,000 people have now fled to Liberia, significant numbers into the Republic of Guinea next door to Cote d'Ivoire. This is a serious situation.
The international community, the UN, the US, you know, West African states, the different parties, they seem quite determined and united on this front. But looking at the word sanctions, perhaps even from your point of view, how good or bad is it to implement sanctions at this stage?
Sanctions can work. I have personal experience of this. I was the chair of a UN sanctions inspection team in Cote d'Ivoire for several years, a couple of years ago, 2005-2007. And I did see how targeted sanctions on individuals had a calming effect. They certainly did on the leader of the Jeune Patriot, the Young Patriots, Blaise Goudet, who kind of mobilizes youth in support of President Gbagbo. He calmed down in 2006 when sanctions were first slapped on him. So the targeted sanctions do have some impact. I'm not sure. I haven't seen any discussion on sanctions on the main exports of Côte d'Ivoire, which would be, of course, cocoa. It's the world's largest producer, exporter of cocoa, but also oil and gas, which brings in about a similar amount of money, $1.3 to $1.5 billion a year. Those two commodities, if they were targeted or the money put in an escrow account accessible only to Mr. Ouattara, would make life much more difficult for the Gbagbo administration. But I haven't seen that so far. The one measure I think that will have an impact is a kind of sanction, which is that the pegging of the West African franc, which is under the Bank of West Africa, so out of Senegal, that has now been tied to access to the Ouattara camp, and I think this will result in the difficulty of the Gbagbo administration paying civil servants. That may erode support in the military for Mr. Gbagbo in the short to mid-term, if salaries are not being able to be paid. At the moment, Mr. Gbagbo is maintained in power mostly because the military remains behind him.
Talking of erosion, surely, as long as this goes on, the worse its economy is going to become because of this.
Well, Côte d'Ivoire is, you know, a really important African economy, one of the main ones. And yes, this is a tragedy. If this election had been successful, it would have reunited the country. And I think given trends elsewhere in Africa, Côte d'Ivoire could have bounced back fairly quickly. It's got good prospects for oil, with further oil fines, but it's also a major exporter of cocoa and also commodities like gold, for example. There's a growing gold industry that's significant in Côte d'Ivoire, and with the high prices of gold, this becomes very attractive. None of this, of course, can really come to fruition. With this insecurity, a number of mining houses have actually suspended their operations with the insecurity. I'll just be speaking to an international oil company that has decided not to be involved in Côte d'Ivoire and is now looking elsewhere because of the insecurity there. So this is a tragedy for Côte d'Ivoire and for the region. The danger is that there will be civil war and the country could be permanently split in the future. That's not good for Côte d'Ivoire or for West Africa.
Finally, very, very, very unsure times ahead.
There's great uncertainty, and I don't think we'll see any quick solution to this. So this is a protracted power struggle. It looked some weeks ago as if West Africa might be more united on a fairly quick intervention in support of Mr. Ouattara, but that seems less likely at the moment. So I think we can foresee an extended period of negotiating, but I just can't see how Mr. Gbagbo will accept that he's not president of Côte d'Ivoire. This is the difficulty. He believes that he won the election, and he has people around him who rely on his patronage and support for their own livelihoods and have no interest in him stepping down. So we are in a difficult situation.